So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Now notice, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel likened unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Yes, that's a great tribute to leaders of the nation of Israel, Moses, and then Joshua would follow. And of course, Gideon was a great leader we could mention, and others as we go to the Old Testament to learn many wonderful lessons as we're under the law of Christ. But we certainly study the Old Testament. We preach from it as we're going to do today, because we are able to be admonished and encouraged by these great lessons from God's Word. And here we see that Moses died and was buried by God, and Joshua became the leader of the Israelites here in Deuteronomy 34, 5 through 12. And Joshua was able to lead the Israelites into the promised land because the Lord thy God was with him. Joshua 1, 1 through 9. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had such leaders like this today? Oh, we would really appreciate that, would we not? Our heart goes out to those in the Ukraine. So many, and a number of Christians, are suffering because of this terrible situation. We pray for both sides that they would have an opportunity to turn to God and learn His will and obey it. And certainly for those who have obeyed the gospel, we pray for their safety and encouragement and the providence of God to be with them. Yes, as we go now to Joshua chapter 2 for our study today, it's going to concern Rahab, who was a Gentile harlot living in Jericho when the two Israelite spies came to her house. Now, she hid the spies on her roof and sent them away safely by a cord out of her window, which was on the wall of the city of Jericho, as you go to Joshua 2, 1 through 15. But let's mention this. Joshua was a great leader because he obeyed God. Notice as he told the east side tribes to remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Joshua 1:13. So we'll look forward to our study today of Rahab, the harlot, and her salvation. Where was it to be found? And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. That means, or stands for, Preparing for Eternity. Keep that in mind, all of us. What better thing, or what more important thing, could we be doing? Well, certainly that's the most important, isn't it? We want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, here in Martinsville, as we come together in our Bible classes to study God's precious Word. And then, as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in spirit and in truth. And you would be very much welcome to join in with us. And something else to mention, we're always glad to have Bible studies. We look forward to those opportunities. And we're glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Mortgage Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now let's get into our study this morning concerning Rahab's salvation. Where was it to be found? We'll begin with Joshua chapter 2, and we'll start with verse 8. Excuse me. Joshua 2, verse 8. And before they were led down, she came up unto them upon the roof. That's the spies. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So we can ask the question, upon what was Rahab's faith based? Well, it was based on reliable testimony about the one true God. She had heard reliable testimony, and it certainly was true. And so today, true faith in God must come from God's revelation, which has always been verified, the evidence of inspiration. That's something that's solid as a rock. And no one should deny that the Bible is the Word of God if it's a proper translation. Now, how does our faith come? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. There's no other way that our faith can come other than through the Word of God. Now, man's reasoning apart from God's Word becomes perverted, as we studied concerning the poisoning of the mind and how we need to stay with reason and logic. Well, when man gets away from the Word of God, his reasoning becomes perverted. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, for example, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's right. That's an awful situation to be in. Let's stay with the Word of God, using reason and logic. Now notice that Rahab, she had been brought up to bow down to gods of wood, little g gods, wood and stone, and now she's confessing the one true God, capital G. She had faith with works. We can prove that. James chapter 2, verse 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, not works of merit, not works of the flesh, but works of righteousness, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. And Rahab is in Hebrews chapter 11, which we sometimes refer to as the Great Hall of Faith. Hebrews 11:31, notice with me. By faith, as we mentioned, what kind of faith? Faith with works. the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. But let's go on and ask this question. What type of concern did Rahab have for others? Let's go back to Joshua 2 and look at verses 12 and 13. Now therefore I pray you, Rahab speaking to the spies, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother, my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. She has very much concern for all her family, and she cared enough to take action so that her family could have salvation from the Israelites' attack. Now, we could never condone Rahab's immorality. She was a harlot in that city. But we can appreciate her desire to save her family. And as we know, she gave up her life of being a harlot. She changed and became a proselyte. Yes, with the Jewish nation. Well, what about our concern for others? This is a lesson for us, is it not? Is it our desire for those outside the church to learn and to obey the truth, even our enemies? Well, we're to love our enemies, the Lord said. We don't have to like them, don't have to like what they're doing, but we need to be concerned about their soul. What do our actions say as we're living the daily Christian life, if we are a Christian? If we're not, what are we waiting for? Why not submit to the gospel of Christ today, as we would be ready to assist you in obeying the gospel? But to those of us who are in the Lord's church, are we living the daily Christian life? As Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Number one, take up his cross daily. Number two, and follow me. Number three. So we have to make sacrifices, put to death anything that would stand in our way of putting God's will first. Now, another important lesson is that our word should mean something. As we go back to chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. And the men, the spies, that is, answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide yourself there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. So this again is a lesson for us, keeping our word. We don't need to swear and take an oath. We just need to let our yea be yea and our no, no. But notice 2 Corinthians 8:21. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. In James 5:12, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Remember when one's word was good enough. You had a handshake and that was all that was needed. Well, sadly to say, that's not being done much today. But let's go on in our study and ask this question. Where was Rahab's salvation to be found? So we pick back up here in Joshua 2 with verse 18. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be on his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will quit of thy oath which thou hast made us swear. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. Now, this is important, that scarlet cord coming from her window. Yes, keep that in mind. And there are many houses in Jericho, but only Rahab and her family members in that one house were saved. As you go over to Joshua 6, notice verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Now verses 21 through 25. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep, and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as she swear unto her, as ye swear unto her. Excuse me. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Now, imagine Rahab's father saying, I've been in my house all my life, and I'm not moving. Well, what would have happened? He would have died. He would have died because he wasn't in the one house where salvation was to be found. Today, many would say, I've been in this such and such church all my life. But if it's not the church that Jesus paid for with his precious blood, that is his body, and began in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost in the first century, it's not the true church of the Bible. And even though one might think that I've been in such and such church all my life, if it's the wrong church, you get out of that false religion. If our house is on fire, do we stay in it or do we get out? If we found out that our medical or car insurance would not pay, would we change companies or stay with a company that's bogus? Think about it. What's more important than our eternal soul? Get out of a false religion. Submit to the gospel of Christ and be added unto the Lord's church by the Lord himself, Acts 2:47. So we get back to that cord now, the scarlet cord, how important it was from her window. There was only one house marked by the blood red cord. And this reminds us of the Paschal Lamb whose blood was placed over the Israelites' doorposts, Exodus 12:7, Exodus 12:13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The death angel passed over the Israelites' homes because of the blood on the doorpost, the blood of the Lamb. And certainly we need to have the blood of the Lamb cleanse us of our sins. So, here's another question, very important question. Where is our salvation to be found today? There are many churches in the world today, but how many of them have been purchased by the blood of Christ? Acts 20:28. Only one, according to the Word of God. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse us from our sins, Colossians 1:13-14, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And what did Ananias tell Paul? At that time he was Saul. Saul, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. The blood of Christ flowed back to wash away the sins of Rahab and those who lived faithfully under the old covenants. The patriarchal age, of course, God spoke directly to the heads of the household, and then the Mosaic age, where God gave the law to Moses and he gave the law to the people, and the prophets would give God's word as well. And so they were to live faithfully under the law that they lived under. And it was the blood of Christ, though, that took away their sins as they lived faithfully. But notice Hebrews 9:14-15. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now let me emphasize this. If we are in the wrong house, if Rahab's relatives had not left their homes and came over to Rahab's home, they would have died. And so if we are in the wrong house, and this analogy is of course referring to the wrong church, are we willing to change? Jesus, he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. All churches that man has started will be rooted up. Matthew 15:13. Only the Lord's church, which was built by the Lord himself. He said, I will build my church. That's the only church that we can have salvation, as we submit to the gospel of Christ and be added to that one true church, which of course is the church of Christ. It's his church. It's purchased with his blood. It's his body. Why would it have anybody else's name? Think about it. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Hebrews 3:6. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church, singular, of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We're called into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. How many bodies? If we don't answer one, we're not telling the truth. We're deceived. Let's open our hearts and receive the precious gospel of Christ and submit to it and get out of false religions. Jesus is the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. There's only two roads from which we can choose. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth where? To destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. I don't want to be of that group, do you? Even though it's the majority. But notice, and then we go, and after many go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I want to be of the few. What about you? So as we close, God's grace is truly great, amazing. And we see by Rahab's example of one who was involved in the sin of fornication, but by faith she received forgiveness and a place of honor. Rahab, the former harlot that became a proselyte, is in the seed line of Christ. Matthew 1:5-6. And Solomon begot Boaz of Rachab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king, and David the king begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. There it is. Do we have true biblical faith? Of course, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Does that describe us? Are we in the right church? The Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. We don't join the church. Acts 2:47. And are we concerned for the lost, like Rahab was concerned for her family? Notice, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Are we willing to obey the gospel by hearing the truth, believing that Jesus is the Christ, repenting of our sins, making the good confession unto salvation, and then to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism, where we contact the precious blood of Christ? We come up out of the water to walk in newness of life, and the Lord adds us to his body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful, even if it means dying. Revelation 2:10, for example. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. So as we've seen, Rahab's salvation was in her house, and our salvation is in the Lord's house, in the Lord's church. And we thank you so much for listening today.